At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big news here. I defeated Adam Crowley in the round of 32, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm now, or is that?
That was the Sweet 16.
Sweet. So I'm in the Elite Eight.
You're in the Elite Eight against Dan Potash.
I don't like my chances again. Well, maybe me defeating Missy Matthews was a good sign because, again, it's somebody who's very good at what they do and very likable
right.
in Dan Potash, whereas I don't know that I'm either. Certainly on the second one, a large percentage of people don't like me. So this could be problematic, but I'm having a hell of a run. Getting by Missy was a giant win, and then Crowley, it was a three-point game. I think it was 52 to 48 something.
Yes,
maybe
it came down to the end.
Maybe a 4-point game. I get by him. All right, and now it's me against Potash in the Joey Bag of Donuts media bracket. And yes, Bob lurks. Bob will be in the Final Four. He just blew out Ray Fittipaldo. I think he plays DeFabo. Bob's going to the Final Four again. I think he's a three-time defending champion. I would consider that a success if I got to the Final Four and lost to Bob. But the Potash matchup is problematic, right?
So it's currently 52-48 in power of Dan Potash, but
yeah, the as power, long as I can hang around.
The power of this show has propelled you all the way to the Elite Eight.
I think it has.
So as a five seed, so I think that, you know, you're selling yourself short with the amount of people that you claim don't like you.
Well, I just want to win by any means necessary. It's survive in advance at this time of year. And Potash is a very worthy opponent. I know that. I respect him. I respect his game. And what is this going to go on for a couple days here, the voting? So I expect it.
Yes.
If I can hang around within 48%, 52 to 48, if I can keep it within 4 to 5 points till the last day, I can put a push on through the show. And I don't mind. I don't mind using that.
Wow.
I will use that if need be.
Bob is dominating Josh Getzoff right now. 82% of the vote. He'll be a number one seed that makes it to the Final Four.
Yeah, Bob's a juggernaut. He's the John Wooden UCLA dynasty. But I'd like a crack at Bob. I think if anybody may be able to upset Bob, I think there's a chance that through the magic of this show, it could happen.
I don't.
No, it can't happen.
No.
I'm going to lose to Bob.
I can't wait for tomorrow's show or Thursday's show where it's you trying to rail on Bob to get the votes. You're trying to overthrow Bob's vote total.
Speaking of Mike DeFabo, who apparently lost to Josh Getzoff, he retweeted Albert Breer, who tweets this. The Steelers' proposal to allow for Zoom calls during the legal tampering period and for visits to be lined up ahead of the start of the league year passed. Significant change to free agency, Breer says. I've never cared about anything less. I don't even want to sort of try to interpret what this is in my brain because I don't care. I've never cared about anything less. You?
I didn't really understand it at first when it was proposed. But
don't bother trying. Nobody
good
cares.
Good for the Steelers.
Yes. Now get a quarterback who's not Aaron Rodgers, but who apparently will be. The third thing on my mind before we launch into that topic is vending machines. And just very quickly, went to both of them again because I'm hungry, trying to lose a little weight, coming off, you know, basically binging through a vacation. And it won't take my credit card. I can't get food at either one. It says, you know, trying to hook. I don't know what it says. It sends me some message limits. And as I pointed out to Donnie Football, who walked in during this episode, it's not an exaggeration to say that 70 years ago, which would have been what, 1954?
Yeah.
70 years ago. I could have been in any workplace in America and gotten something out of a vending machine with a couple quarters. Quarters in, I get a Coke or a cup of coffee or a bag of potato chips. 70 years ago.
Sure about that? You weren't alive. You should probably ask Ron.
I can't do it here. Can't get it. I can't get anything out of a vending machine.
That's funny because I had the exact same problem yesterday. It said, not available to accept credit cards right now.
I just can't get anything out of the vending machines. There's two of them. These newfangled machines. You know, they've got the arms that go down and get your Coke and bring it up and then put it through this and that. And then they drop it down in the bucket and everything's newfangled and credit card accessible, except it doesn't work. That's the thing. Except it doesn't work.
And how does that make you feel?
Angry. And in this case, hangry. Because I need something to eat. Denise Suba came up with a bag of potato chips, and I credit her for that. It was very magnanimous of her, compassionate of her. But I marvel at it, and that's what I told everybody I saw. Denise also gets angry at the vending machines. I said, Denise, if we were sitting here in 1950 and we wanted a bag of pretzels from a vending machine, we could have gotten it. We're going backwards on vending machines. And then I'm told that our guy Vic, this is literally, remember Marty Tuffer, John Calipari's roommate?
Yes.
He's a salesperson here. He tells me this morning, Vic went on top of the vending machine and rearranged an antenna or something up there.
What?
So that the vending machine would work.
We have a message in, a text to us. I went 0-for-2 on the vending machine today from Crowley. So Crowley also having problems with the vending machine.
So I said to Marty Tuffer, you're kidding, because I was talking about 1950. He said, no. I said, we have a guy who's manipulating the wires on our vending machine the way we used to do with antennas when TVs were first invented. What is happening here? Limits. What
Andrew Lemberg also has a problem with the vending machine. This is like Shaq at the free throw line. We're not able to hit anything.
So I tried to use my credit card. It told me I couldn't use my credit card.
Right.
Then it said, use exact change. I don't have exact change.
Nobody has exact change.
I'm trying to give the machine money, and it won't
people,
let me.
You know when people had exact change? 1950. That's when we had exact change.
Yeah, and it's not like the chips or whatever are $2. It's like $2.40 is right. Charged to your credit card.
Right.
$2.40?
Yeah, I'll pull out
four dimes?
Yeah, 10 quarters, because I just came from the car wash. I mean, what are we doing? Limits. Honest to God. Speaking of that, or not speaking of that, I'm going to veer off here for a moment. But we have all week, all month, all year to get to Aaron Rodgers. It's not official yet. How about these torpedo bats? Limits, I need your undivided attention. We're doing a radio show together.
Sorry, I learned also some other bad news about food in the building today.
What'd he say? What did he say?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Okay. Forget it. Probably somebody cooking fish in the microwave, something like that. How about these new torpedo bats? What do we make of them? I wonder what did Bob have an opinion on this yesterday? You guys talk about it?
Yeah, I don't think Bob has much of a problem with it. Now,
do you?
Somewhat. It's kind of the awful radio opinion that I don't have much of an opinion about it because they're not technically breaking the rule. They're just shifting where the main barrel portion of the bat is closer to the label. Which is typically like, you know, at like the end of the bat.
Are they doing something illegal by major league rules?
No.
Then that's the end of the story for me, except for this, that as Jeff Passan said the other day, and I like him a lot, I think he's very, very sharp, is that maybe this is a way finally for hitters to get something in their favor. I mean, pitchers can literally go to a lab, as he put it, and invent a pitch overnight Like, everything that's happening technology-wise in baseball seems to be favoring the pitching, and we see that reflected in a lot of the numbers, do we not?
No doubt.
So here's something that helps the hitters, and you just want to move, you know, the mass part of the bat or elongate it or move it entirely to places where you usually hit the ball. Great. Are you breaking rules? No. Then what are we talking about? What's the discussion?
And a lot of other teams have adopted this. I think the main skepticism probably came from it's the Yankees. The Yankees are the one that created it or that invented it and came up with this idea. And not all their hitters are using it. Aaron Judge is still using his regular bat, and I completely understand
why. Are a lot of other teams using it? Are you sure about that?
Yes.
A lot?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a couple other teams that are already adopting it.
A couple's different than a lot.
Let me see if I can find the...
I know that Ellie De La Cruz had 7 RBIs last night, the first time he used this bat. I saw an interview with him, and by the way, he's on my home run team limits. For the first time in 30 years, I drafted a home run team with my friends back in Buffalo.
A home run team?
Yeah, we were one of the first, maybe even 38 years. I don't know what it was, but we were one of the first fantasy baseball organizations in the world. We rented out a hotel room in Buffalo where we had a long table, like, you know, like the one we have here. What do you call those tables? Like a meeting table.
Yeah.
Where important things are decided and people drink and smoke cigars.
You were the Knights at the Round Table.
Yes, that's what we did. All those years ago, maybe 1989, we had one of the first, I'm convinced, fantasy drafts in the entire baseball world, and it was all home run hitters. That's it. And we never got more complicated than that. At some point, I left the league some 30 years ago, and I made a comeback the other night. And everybody got mad at me at the dinner table because I was making my picks by phone. To make a long story longer, I chose Ellie De La Cruz, and last night he had 2 homers and 7 RBIs, and after the game revealed that he was using a torpedo bat for the first time.
Yep, Adley Rutschman of the Orioles is using it. Alec Boehm of the Philadelphia Phillies is using it. Ellie De La Cruz. Dansby Swanson is using it. There's a couple Dodgers that are using it. Ryan Jeffers of the Twins.
Does anybody object to this, by the way, at 412-928-9370, 928-9370? I must say, when I first heard it, first saw it, it was that way, Limits. It was the Yankees, just because I have a natural sort of aversion and hatred toward them. It was, wait a second. Are we cheating here? Are we bending the rules? Even if technically we're not breaking the rules, are we breaking the spirit, violating the spirit of the rules? And no, you know, after seeing Passan and after thinking about this more, you know, it's help for the hitters. It's help for the hitters, and they need help. And it's not illegal. What's wrong with this? Can you explain? Do you have an actual objection to it?
I really don't. As much as I kind of like feel like I should, because it's the Yankees and it's an innovative way that they came up with it, like because they're the Yankees, $300 million payroll, so many stars. No, I really don't. And what I do think that eventually will happen with this is it's going to be something just like the tush push, where there's like a huge, I think I saw 16 teams today are pushing back on the tush push. The league is completely split on it.
Yeah.
I think this is what's probably going to end up happening in baseball with the torpedo bats.
I saw where that got tabled, by the way, and that's a great analogy. I was just going to bring that up, the tush push. That's been tabled for another day, I believe. Can
yes.
you look that up when you get a chance?
Yeah, it's been further pushed back just because it's so split right now. And by the way, Joe, the power of this show, another 100 votes have come in. You've now taken a 4-point lead on Dan Potash.
We might have to have Potash on to get his piece in here. I feel bad about using the power of the show at this point to beg for votes, although I will. There's an MIT scientist behind the torpedo bat. I mean, come on. The Yankees have 15 home runs in their first 3 games. It's a major league record. De La Cruz is a pretty good hitter anyway with tons of power. He just had 2 home runs and 7 RBIs in a game. First of all, have the Pirates ordered these things? Limits? Let's get Ben Charrington on the line and let's order. I don't know if they have a sale or not, but let's order, you know, 30 of these 50, 150 of these torpedo bats.
They should order them for everybody. Everybody should have a torpedo bat.
They should have torpedo gloves as well. Torpedo arms for their bullpen. They should have a bunch of torpedoes. Seriously, though, the Pirates need to be thinking about torpedo bats. Forget about who the hitting coach is. I don't even know if torpedo bats would help some of these guys, honestly. But they need to be on this, like, right away. Because that's just so eye-opening. I realize the Yankees have pretty good power anyway, right? You know, they've bought a bunch of guys. They have Aaron Judge. But they hit 15 home runs. Was it 9 in one game?
8 or 9.
So this is a pretty eye-opening development. I will say that. Can we get the MIT scientist on here, Limits? Call him up.
I can sure try. He's with the Marlins. I'm sure the requests are filling up for him.
Well, wait a second. He's with the Marlins?
He just moved to the Marlins, yes.
When? Like yesterday after the Yankees hit all those homers? Are they using this, obviously?
The Marlins? I think they're just about to implement it, yes. That's what I saw.
They're just about to implement it? Why aren't they?
I don't know.
They have the guy on their staff, and they're not team using the torpedo bats?
And they're not using it yet, no.
Are you sure about that?
I will look it up to confirm.
Look him up. Aaron Lenhart. Get his teachers from, I think it was from the Massachusetts Institute. MIT is what it was, for God's sakes. MIT. Did you realize, Limits, that he was part of a research team that cooled sodium gas to the lowest temperature ever recorded in human history?
Oh, yeah. I knew that right off the top of my head.
This is significant. This is very significant for baseball. I have a feeling about this. Do you know that? Are you getting that same feeling?
It's
that
huge.
Something big could be happening?
And he worked as a major league analyst for the Yankees before joining the Marlins. They began working on this bat in 2022 when a member of the Yankees minor league hitting department, and while he was a member of the hitting department, and now the torpedo bat is the biggest story in all of baseball. He said it's been a project that's taken over 2 years to get to this point. So whether it's one offseason, a full season, two off seasons, it tends to just be the time scale for a guy or two.
See,
maybe not just buy in for all of us to make the adjustments.
I'm being honest now. This is why I wish we had the Derek Shelton show today, because that would be one of my first questions after, well, the bullpen and the base running and the throwing and the hitting. And all that.
So you're saying we wouldn't even get to it?
Well, we would. Honestly, we would. Like, what about these this, to me, compared to a hitting coach? I mean, what they've done, essentially, is move the barrel. Move, or is it more about moving the barrel of the bat? Like, okay, you have a different barrel area, or elongating it where it already was. Now there's more barrel.
No, so the size of the bat has not changed. The size of the bat, the width of the bat, the weight of the bat has not changed.
But the barrel has.
Yes, they're moving from where, like, off the end of the bat, where a lot of weight still was. It's just that they moved it closer down the bat, closer to the label, where some hitters, like Anthony Volpe was one of the main prime examples for the Yankees, where he makes the most contact with his bat.
Right.
They moved the wood further down to that area. So it's not like a big barrel bat that they have just created. They just moved where part of the biggest area of the barrel was.
But there's still barrel where it used to be.
Correct.
So they've elongated the barrel.
It's just not as... Well, when you look at the bat, where the end of the bat used to be like the biggest part of it, now the end of the bat is a lot smaller, and the middle portion of the bat right around the label is bigger.
I'm sorry, but when I look at the Yankees' numbers, it's mind-blowing. When I look at De La Cruz, it's mind-blowing. Now, this also goes to the old Barry Bonds thing when he was allegedly on steroids. You still have to have the skill to do what he did. But, man, if you do, that can be a real enhancer. That's the way I look at this, too. Like, this isn't going to turn Adam Frazier back into the hitter he was 8 years ago or whenever it was. But, man, it can sure help people who can already hit, right?
Right. Yeah, I look at it differently from Bonds because that was just a muscle enhancer. I think that's different than equipment, where everybody has the same style of bat, different equipment, where you're hitting the ball compared to just pure strength and power with additional wood.
No, my point there was, no matter what the enhancement is, if you can't hit, you can't hit.
Right.
If you can, this will help you.
No doubt. And if you're that great of a hitter, it should It could help you even more, but even Aaron Judge is not somebody that's buying into it.
And here I'm reading about that limits. Look at this. In The Guardian here, swap bat for PEDs, and that's a common defense for Barry Bonds' election into the Hall of Fame. In this case, an important distinction is that the bats are legal. They haven't broken any rules. No rules have been broken here. I have no problem with this. I like it. I hope the Pirates get a lot of these. Don't you?
Texter says, would you feel differently about the torpedo bats if the developer had been from Carnegie Mellon and had been working for the Pirates?
Yeah, I'd be happier.
Yeah.
But I'd still feel the same way. Do you think the Pirates can get torpedo gloves or perhaps some torpedo arms?
Yeah, I don't think they can make the glove bigger.
Can they make some sort of... Is there any innovation that could get a guy to throw to second instead of home when necessary limits?
Maybe just practice, training, listening. Maybe larger ears is what they need to be able to hear better.
Maybe. What do people think of this? Are they calling? 412-928-9370. This is unbelievable. It's showing the Bugs Bunny conga line. You remember when they got hot that day? Limits. They had run innings of 28 and 41 runs. Remember the Bugs Bunny line when they kept hitting the board? They using torpedo bats?
Yes. I think they were. They were very big barrel bats.
I don't see anything wrong in the end, but I think this is going to become a bigger and bigger story. I think that in the days to come. How about you?
Yeah, it will be. I think more and more players are going to embrace it and take it in and basically say, if it's working for X amount of players, why not at least try it? So it wouldn't surprise me if, like...
This guy did a phone interview with the Athletic Limits. I want him on the phone here by 1 o'clock. Can you pull that?
Probably not, but I'll try.
Give it a shot. Andrew Lenhart. You see his name in there. He's 48 years old. As many as 5 Yankees will be using them in games, according to Cody Bellinger. And then there's the tush push, which you brought up as another sort of innovation that makes people angry. And again, I would say, why? It's within the rules right now. Why change the rules? And you notice the people who are most vocal about it are the people getting their asses kicked by the Eagles right now.
And according to Peter Schrager, what he reported is hearing the tush push debate amongst the teams is the rare rule change proposal where both sides are not only dug in and very passionate, but there are influential voices making cases to potential swing votes.
I mean, listen, a part of me with this, and when I first saw it this morning on NFL Network, I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. I'm tired of hearing about the tush push. On the other hand, this is a gigantic weapon for the Eagles.
Yes.
It's basically unstoppable. I watched a playoff game this year between the Chiefs and the AFC Championship, Chiefs and the Bills. That was decided on short yardage, really coaching, where Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo completely outcoached Sean McDermott. Well, him. And the game was decided on those plays. How many games are decided on third and ones, fourth and ones, big stops or conversions that keep drives going? Like, it's a gigantic advantage for the Eagles. It is. They're the ones that have mastered this, and this is part of them winning. That's undeniable. So as much as I or anybody else might be sick of it, it's a huge issue, and it's tabled by the NFL owners. Let's see who supports and who doesn't support this. Here are teams that support the tush push. You ready?
Yes.
Baltimore, Carolina, Cleveland. Are they still in the league limits? We're going to get to them in a moment. Houston, Indy, Patriots, Saints, Jets, and of course the Eagles. Teams that are opposed, on the record as being opposed. The Falcons, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Rams, who I think may have lost to the Eagles in the playoffs. Am I right about that?
You would be right about that. The Bills kind of surprised me because they tried it so many times but failed. Maybe that's
why.
Well,
they didn't really try it, though. They didn't.
They did with Josh Allen, yes, multiple times, pushing to the left.
No, they didn't, limits. They don't have an official tush push. They have Josh Allen running to the left because he's a monster. They don't have guys pushing him from behind, and that might have been the problem. They can't run or refuse to run the tush push like the Eagles do. And Josh Allen on his own is pretty good at it. Like, he was hardly stopped during the year, but that's what I mean when I say the Chiefs came into that game and clearly decided one of the key points in winning is how we convert our third and fourth short yardage plays and how they don't. And they stuffed him every time, but it wasn't a tush push. It was stupidity on the Bills' part and bullheadedness by Sean McDermott. And Sean McDermott says he's concerned with players' safety on the push play. Get out of here with this.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have two things happening in the world of sports that are innovative in a way, creative, controversial. One of them is now sort of being debated as to whether it should even exist, and the other shortly will be, I predict. The first one, of course, is the tush push, which is a huge weapon for the Eagles. The way that they do it is virtually unstoppable, virtually. And the way that they do it, if you go back and look at the first touchdown in the Super Bowl, is Jalen Hurts lines up behind the center. He's got a tight end and Barkley behind him, and they slam into his back right away, and he scores. Other teams try it, and they either don't know how to do it, they half-ass it, or they don't have the personnel to do it. Now, Josh Allen for the Bills, you know, he's a horse. I mean, he's very hard to stop. And they try to run sort of a version of it, but it's not the same thing. And if it was, and if the Bills ran this successfully all the time and had their own tush push, why in the world limits would Sean McDermott be against the tush push if the Bills were doing this successfully?
Well, because they're not doing it successfully. I mean, they can't do it as well as the Philadelphia Eagles can.
Because they're not doing the same thing.
No, it's definitely a version of it. Like, when I watch the Bills play, I think of it as a tush push. Now, by the letter of what the Eagles do, the letter of the law of that, it's not a tush push. It's more of a quarterback sneak with the running back pushing, and then a tight end comes in from the side and also pushes when Allen moves off to his left, which is something that the Chiefs even identified and told the broadcast when that was happening, that CBS even pointed out. So, I don't know, maybe it's that they had just don't run it well enough. It came up unsuccessful against the Chiefs. That is
several times. It wasn't
right,
just once.
Over and, four.
And they don't run it. They certainly don't run it the same way, and they often don't run it at all. If it worked, if they could do it, or if they actually had success doing it, I don't know why Sean McDermott would be against it. To me, the bottom line here, the moral of the story, is the people who are against it are either getting beaten by the Eagles or are somehow bitter that this team has a play that they don't, that works all the time. I thought Mike Tomlin and the Steelers seem to be on the fence. They're not listed as for or against. He did say, listen, you got to give a team or teams credit for coming up with stuff that the rest of us didn't. And I agree with him on the tush push and the Eagles. Find a way to stop it or quit whining. That's where I stand. You?
Yeah, and here is what Tomlin ultimately ended up saying about the tush push and why he thought he actually kind of likes it.
I guess my real perspective is the player safety component. There's been discussions about the player safety component is why we took it off the field goal. I think that's where the discussion will be today. I'm really excited about the discussion today. I'm open-minded. I'm anxious to see what everyone has to say. But the larger part of the discussion for us is around player safety.
But he did think that it was somewhat illegal, or at least it looked illegal based on what they did with the field goal block.
The first time I saw it, I couldn't believe that it was legal because it was illegal on the field goal. That being said, you know, you hate to be against it because, you know, when people are innovative, you want to respect that. And so there's certainly been some teams that have been more innovative than the rest of us in that regard, and you hate to penalize them for it. But again, we got into the discussion on the field goal block because of player safety, and so that still remains to be a component of the discussion.
It doesn't seem like anybody's getting hurt, and I appreciate the innovation from the Eagles. I applaud it. I don't want to ban the tush push. They do it better than everyone else, partly because I'm sure they have 300 and whatever pound Mekhi Becton also pushing in an offensive line that's the best in all of football, plus Saquon Barkley, who they called Saquad Barkley, some did, because of how just much he can bench, plus tight ends pushing. The Eagles just do it so well. No, I don't think they should ban it.
Imagine the Steelers doing this with Jackson Dart. Let's go to the lines limits. Torpedo bats and the tush push. Innovative, creative, effective, should stay forever, or you want them one or both banned?
Let's start with Noah in Wexford.
Hello. See, as the Pirates, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, right?
And appreciate it.
Of course. I love you guys. And anyways, the Pirates are such a dysfunctional organization that I don't understand. Like, we're having such trouble hitting the baseball, right? We should fully embrace the torpedo bat to actually help us hit the baseball. But the Pirates are so dysfunctional that they'll probably be the last team to actually incorporate them. And on a side note, I know that we're already down, like, a starting pitcher in Jared Jones, and I hate it that we let Luis Ortiz walk for nothing, because he was arguably our second best starter behind Skeens last year, and I just don't like it that we let
him walk. Well, they didn't let him walk. I mean, they used him in a deal to try to bring in a first baseman, plus he got lit up like a Christmas tree yesterday. But I do agree that, or I hope this doesn't happen, but I tend to think the Pirates might be slow to move on the torpedo bats. And like I said earlier, limits, I don't know that it helps people who can't hit anyway. In fact, I know it doesn't.
They should give Josh Van Meter one of those bats.
Yeah.
Will Craig, could he have used it? Cole Tucker?
Watch him turn into Mickey Mantle. Who's next?
Here is Tony in Butler. Wants to talk about the bats and the tush push.
Tony?
How are you doing today, guys?
Good.
The torpedo bat thing, I think this should be outlawed tomorrow. My problem with it is if you look at the picture of the torpedo bat next to a regular bat, by moving the sweet spot down, there's also more sweet spot underneath the trademark toward a guy's hands. What that's going to do to pitchers is, instead of pitching inside a lot, it's going to force them to throw outside more. Guys are going to crowd the plate and be able to hit the outside ball a lot more.
And what's wrong with that?
If you're changing the game by taking away pitchers being able to pitch inside effectively, if they have more of a chance to hit the ball, and they will because it's thicker, a little thicker from the trademark down toward the hands, you're taking that away what pitchers have been doing for 100 years. When a batter steps in the box, it's a 50-50 guess if a guy's going to throw you inside or outside. If you change the tendency to where they're throwing outside 75% of the time, hitters are going to take advantage of that. I just think it's unfair.
Well, let me ask you, and I ask you respectfully because I hear your point, but what's the difference between that and the technology that's helping pitchers nowadays where they can walk into a lab at a place like MIT, maybe not actually MIT, but a place like it, and basically design a new pitch in a laboratory and have it ready, you know, within days, as Jeff Passan from ESPN says? Shouldn't the hitters have some form of high-end technology to fight back with?
I see your point there. I'm just going to say this too. I'm sure Major League Baseball loves this because they want to see more home runs. Today's fans don't care if you strike out 80 times. As long as you hit 30 home runs, you're a hero. And I get what you're saying about pitchers developing a pitch, but I just think the bat's an advantage. And plus, if the tendency of not being able to throw inside, now that's two advantages. that hitters are going to have over pitchers.
I would say it's about time that the hitters got some. It's been a pitcher's world for a long, long time, and it went too far. It's gone too far. Everybody who walks into a game now practically throws like a closer, which I think helps account for all those arm injuries, but it also helps account for the anemic offensive numbers in baseball. That's why I'm all for this. Next.
Here is Jeff in Cranberry.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, it's not a new bat. It's a very old bat. In the 1950s, Nellie Fox was an infielder for the White Sox, and H&B made that bat for him. In fact, I had one when I was in Pony League in 1959.
I hear that. Limits. We missed something here. Is this the real thing? And I'm sorry to cut you off, sir.
No, no problem.
Jerry Dulac. Is this the real Jerry Dulac?
No.
Yes, I see it.
Thank you for
the
call.
This is the real Jerry Dulac.
Breaking. Art Rooney II said he has a good feeling about Aaron Rodgers and the signs are, quote, pointing in that direction of him signing with the Steelers. Rooney also said the Steelers will not, quote, wait forever for a decision, but are content to wait, and I quote, a little longer. So, to me, this is almost all but done.
Yes.
This is almost all but done. And again, I think is clearly pointing in the direction of Rodgers making this announcement on the Pat McAfee show live, on the Pat McAfee event, I should say, which is coming to Pittsburgh. But that's the most significant thing we've seen yet. Would you agree?
Yes. And I think that it's even further put it to the table based on yesterday, the report that Rodgers over the weekend threw with DK Metcalf at UCLA. So in seeing that and in Art Rooney saying this, it just seems like that you just got to sign on the dotted line, Aaron, that this thing is basically a handshake agreement and done. It just hasn't been officially formalized.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to see video of him and DK Metcalf. The owner of the team is now on the record saying signs are, quote, pointing in that direction of Aaron Rodgers. Now, because it's Aaron Rodgers who has a flair for the dramatic, you might say, could this all blow up at the last second? Could he just decide, forget it? He could, but I don't think so. I'm wondering what the deal is going to look like. I think it's going to be for around $40 million at least. I think that this is an act of desperation. Somehow the view of that has turned. Like if I told you in the last week of the regular season, hey, you wait and watch, the Steelers are going to wind up with Aaron Rodgers. It seems like a lot of people's views would have been very different then. Like, what? Aaron Rodgers? Why would you want him at this point? To now that it's being pumped up in various circles to, wow, they're getting Aaron Rodgers. This is a chance with these receivers to, you know, get the ball down the field, have a really exciting offense, maybe to actually have a competitive effort in a playoff game. Maybe, but I wouldn't bet on that. But this is the surest sign yet. Right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Art Rooney II, according to Jerry Dulac, says it's pointing in that direction. Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers. Your thoughts on this? Your thoughts on this at 412-928-9370. Yes, it's the real Jerry Dulac. It is April Fool's Day, but, you know, this isn't surprising either. Maybe it's mildly surprising that Art would actually address it so directly. When Mike Tomlin really didn't yesterday, sort of talked around it, like, yeah, he's a free agent. We had a good meeting. I'm not pretending anything's happening, not happening, whatever. You know, I'm paraphrasing what Tomlin said, but it certainly wasn't, yes, it's pointing in the direction of Aaron Rodgers.